family first. We've been talking about building a strong family. Four pillars that we have to have a strong family. For a quick review, we've said so far, and this is going to be on the screen, we said pillar number one, strong families tell each other, I love you, every single day. Strong families verbally express love, appreciation, encouragement, compassion. Three huge words, I forgive you. Three gigantic words, please forgive me. Are you listening to me now? And so listen, we need to get in the habit of saying, please forgive me, when we need to say, please forgive me. Thank you for your enthusiasm, that overwhelming amen. Wow. I don't know if we can continue now. That amen was so huge right there. All right. And also, when somebody says to you, please forgive me, then listen, the way we've been forgiven, freely forgive, we must. With the love of God, not based on your emotions or lack of them or feelings or lack of them, we must say, I forgive you. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
Or a good say what? All right, something. All right, give me some response here, okay? All right.
And it doesn't matter
words
how,
are important.
How many family members we have or how, who you are in your family, you're always going to have to use these two things. Say I'm sorry and
isn't that the truth?
Somebody.
If you're married to a human being, you get to forgive.
Yeah, but if you're in a family, I mean, teens got to forgive their parents. Kids have to forgive their parents.
So parents, true.
I mean, you know, it's not ever going to end. It doesn't matter how long we live on earth, we're going to have to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, and I forgive you. Because it's just, that's what it takes to build relationships. That's what it takes to keep relationships. That's what it takes to build strong families. So we want to really empower us to walk the way God would want us to walk, to live the way he would want us to live. And Jesus said, forgive as you've been forgiven. He showed us the way. And so he shows us the way in everything. And we were just singing how faithful God is. God is faithful. Even when we mess up, he's faithful. Even when we don't get it right, he's right there. You know, he's ready to pick us up all the time. He's ready to renew us, refresh us, encourage us, lift us up all the time. And
right.
If we're depending on human beings to do that for us, it might not happen, right? And then you're disappointed. And then you think you don't like that person anymore. But instead, let's expect that from our Father. That's why our relationship with God is so important.
Right.
Because he is the only relationship that will not let us down, that will not fail us, and that is the only perfect one. So that's why every time, God's got it for us. And then as we learn to depend upon God, we can become more and more like Christ so that, like yesterday, we're having tension, and yesterday we're having this conversation that's not going so well, and or it might have been the day before, whatever.
Probably both days.
But probably both days. So we live in a real world. We are not perfect people, and so we still, after 36 years, have those little spats. How about you guys?
She's a strong person.
Yeah, right.
She's a strong person, and God knew she needed somebody stronger to bring balance to her life.
That's sure.
That's why God sent me.
I always have said, good thing I am the way I am. No one else would have survived this man.
Isn't that the truth? That's so true.
But
so rewards in heaven, can you imagine?
Probably the opposite is true too. Isaac will just shake his head at us sometimes like, I don't know, you guys are just as bad as each other. I'm like,
but in the end of the day, we love each other.
And,
hey, and also, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, let not the sun go down on your anger. And so we always, always, listen, you can bank on this. We always make it right before we go to bed. Now, that might mean like I stay up for 3 or 4 days in a row. Okay, no, I'm just teasing. Okay, I'm just teasing. Go to Alaska where it's daytime for 6 months. Okay, no. But we always do that. We always say, I forgive, and make sure there's nothing hanging in the air. We don't like that stink in the air. Do you follow me? We don't like that hanging in the air. We just don't allow it. That's something we've always been good about. As hard as it can be sometimes. Hey, look, with that in mind, let's bring up Proverbs 12:18. It's not on the outline I gave you, Hope, but I want to look at this verse, okay? Proverbs 12:18 from the New Living Translation. Proverbs 12:18, our words are important. Look at the verse. Some people make cutting remarks. Know anybody like that? Are you sitting by them? Don't look at them, okay? Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. So that's New Living. And the King James, the New King James, it says, there are those who speak like the piercing of a sword. It really gives the picture of what Solomon was trying to get across to us, like slicing, like stabbing somebody. But the tongue of the wise brings healing, brings health. And so, just listen, your words matter. And so use your words to bring healing. And if you have cut, then bring healing, all right? And you don't get to do this. Here's what you don't get to do. Cut and remark, oh, I was just kidding. Cut and remark, I was just kidding. You're an idiot if you do that, okay? I'm out of time, so I can't church that word up. You're an idiot if you do that. You follow me? So please don't be that person that just slings these painful words. Oh, I was just kidding. Oh, I was just kidding. There's truth behind, even behind humor, there's usually a grain of truth. Can you say amen to that? All right? And no one thinks that's funny anyway. So use your words to bring healing. So some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Pillar number one, strong families tell each other I love you every single day. And we did a whole teaching on this a few weeks back that you can go back and listen to, right? Do you want to add anything else before we move on?
No, just that brings us to the second part.
Okay.
The second pillar is to deal with problems in a positive way.
So strong families, Listen, we all face problems. And we're going to talk about some of ours in a minute right here, all right? We're trying to decide which ones we could even bring up, all right? But strong families deal with problems in a positive way, a positive way. Every family will face problems. You face them, we face them. As long as we live on planet Earth, this is a fallen world. People wonder, well, if God's so wonderful and so good, remember, we live in a fallen world. We can all thank Adam for that, all right? It's going to be restored one day, but it's not there yet. So every family will face problems, right?
Definitely. And we want to be creative in how we solve problems, but we want to be loving in the way we solve a problem. So, you know, we can't really honor one another in our families without being positive towards one another when the other person messes up, or when we mess up, or when something hits us that is so...
Just an attack of the enemy, right? It's not even messing up. It's just facing something.
I mean, life.
We face financial problems. I mean, just comes, right?
Our way. And so... Right. We have to stand together, not against each other, during times of when problems come our way.
Let me say this. Now listen, strong families face problems with the love of God.
Yeah.
It was amazing even how much was said just in the last group presentation a few minutes ago. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. That was all. I didn't know they were going to say that. They didn't know I was going to say this, but God knew. And so strong families face problems with the love of God. They face problems in faith, and they face problems standing on the word. Remember that. The love of God in faith and standing on the word. There is a promise for every problem. And the Bible says, and we'll bring this verse up, Romans 8:37, just a verse you want to know. This is how it reads in the New King James Version, Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him,
yes.
Who what? Loved us. Yeah. We face these things in the love of God. So, listen, we all face them. It's how we face them that's different. Strong families face them differently than families that get blown apart. How we face them is how we face them that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. It can bind us together. You know, America was never more united than after 9/11. Do you guys remember that? If you're old enough to remember that, When that thing happened and that terrorist attack hit, it didn't matter about, you know, the election ballots in Florida. They didn't count them right. It didn't matter about who was Republican, who was Democrat. Didn't matter who was this, who was that. When we were attacked by an enemy like that, that really, really bound us together at that time. You follow me? And so strong families, when they face challenges, it can bind them together, or it can bring out all this infighting and all this blaming and all this finger pointing. It can blow a family apart. It's how we face it that makes the difference, right?
Right. And so I think that one of the key points in really being positive in our problems is to remember we're supporting each other.
Yes.
We're for each other.
That is so good.
We're on the same side. This family is united because we're on the same side. You know, we love one another. We forgive one another. We work together. We support each other. Oh, if we don't see it the same way, it's okay. There's different opinions. We're all entitled to our opinions. But in the end, let's find a way to agree to get on the same page so we can solve the whatever situation it
right.
is. You know, we've had crazy stuff happen in our family and got through them.
Right.
And I think one thing we all have to remember is that problems don't last forever. We're going to get through these things. You know, eventually we're going to forget about this thing. In fact, one of the things you brought up, I was like, wow, I don't really remember that. But when, as he talked about it, then it jogged my memory. But I remember thinking that during that time, it was huge. It was
and
like,
would it ever end? You're right.
It was like, man, how is this happening? But then life has gone on. I've forgotten about it. God's healed us. God's restored. God's done
right.
good things. God continues to be faithful like we sang. He is faithful.
Right.
If we'll stick with God, if we'll stick to the way God does things, we're going to get through.
Right.
It's when we're stubborn and want to do things our way or we want our own way, that's when we fail. And we want to do it God's way because
right.
God's word really does have instructions for us. And so that's one thing that's helped us.
Right.
We'll think about, okay, if we can't solve it right now, okay, let's get together later.
Right. But there's a promise for every problem.
Always, yeah.
So God's word guarantees us victory. It doesn't guarantee us never having a struggle and never having a challenge. Jesus himself said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And you couple that with Romans 8:37, you and I are world overcomers. So it guarantees us victory, but not having to avoid a fight. So there's an old saying, it's kind of cliche, but it's really true. Tough times never last. Tough people do. And you're looking at a couple of tough people up here. I mean, we learned a long time ago to get on the same side of the field. When we first got married, we were like cracking heads. I mean, you know, we were both stubborn and you can tell we're both pretty opinionated and both think we're right because, you know, it took a long time for me to get her to see my things my way. Actually, I'm still working on that one, you know what I'm saying? But we learned to join forces, two are better than one, you know what I mean, right? And all of a sudden now the devil's under our feet and he's the one causing all these things. So the old saying is true, tough times never last, tough people do. And we are just determined that we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You want to talk about, should we talk about some of these real quick?
Okay,
or
sure.
Do you want to add anything else?
I was just going to say that.
And then we'll do that.
There's some habits that we can.
Oh, that's really good. That's
in
good.
Home that will help us get through problems. I mean, you yourself, personally.
That's really good.
Know,
can you give me a pen?
Habits that are going to really help you. Just form good ways, healthy ways of overcoming challenges that are coming your way. Because all of us have individual problems that come our way. We all have stuff that happens to us.
I'll give it back to you right
now. There's all, you know, we go through different seasons in our lives. But one thing that life does not do is it doesn't stop giving us problems. Right? So in whatever season you're in, these are just good things for us to do that will help us with problems. And so the first one I wanted to talk about, and then we can do this, is
I just had a thought there. Sorry, I didn't want to lose that.
Attack the problem and not the person.
No, let's talk about these first. Then we'll do that. Okay, okay. We'll come back to that. Hang on, Hope. Problems that you're thinking, oh, yeah, okay, you're in the ministry. We see your sons up there, da-da-da-da. They have this magic life. They have this blessed life. Hey, we've had the police at our door, and it wasn't because of she and I. Okay? Now, we're going to try to be real general, because the hard thing with this is that, you know, our kids are here, and so I can't really get specific. I can just be general. All four of them have been challenging in different ways, okay? Now, how many here have sons and daughters? How many here would say daughters are harder than sons? So everybody tells me that. That's what everybody tells me. I've heard that all these years. I've heard that. And I'm like, dear God, thank you then, because these sons were really hard. You know what I mean? And if it was that hard with sons, and they all are unanimous, daughters are more difficult. I don't know. Maybe it's good we didn't have them. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I tell you, we had four sons. Were really hard. It was really challenging, really fun and rewarding. But we had calls from the school. All right. I mean, one time they call me, and I'm sitting in my office. Is this Pastor Ray? I'm like, yes, Pastor Ray. I'm thinking somebody's going to come check the church out. This is Mr. So-and-so from the school, and we have your son here in the office. Can you please come down here right now? Oh, that's the call I wanted to get. This is my little, my wonderful son who's raised in church, all right?
The other time, though, we got a call from elementary school. One of our kids is in the office, and along with two other little guys that he hangs around with, he's in the office, and the police show up. I'm like, geez, what is this? You know, I thought the school handled it and got carried away with it, but that's okay. I'm a mom, right? So anyway.
And it's our kids.
But it was
can't
elementary.
Be that.
I'm like, whoa. Okay, so anyway, after that, the teacher didn't really like our child so much, but...
And told other parents about how bad our kid was, remember?
But why I brought that up is
that really happened.
We had to help him navigate the rest of the year and keep a good attitude and not hate the teacher and not start acting up in class and all of that kind of stuff. And so after that, that teacher didn't want any of our kids in their class. But I thought, oh, well, it's a big deal. I almost took it personally because I'm like, you don't know how great my kids are.
Right. Exactly. I'm going to knock you out. Right.
You know, we're just a normal family like anybody else.
That's right.
But a big thing is teaching our kids how to overcome these things. We would always tell them, you know what, not everyone's going to like you. We've got really strong personalities in our family, and these guys want people to like them. And they're shocked when people don't. So I had to train them young that not everybody's going to like you. And life is not always fair. Teachers are not always fair. We have to learn to cooperate even when things aren't fair towards us. We have to learn how to solve things.
Right.
And be kind no matter how somebody else is treating us. And we got to walk in love no matter how else somebody else is treating us. So we've had to walk in love towards a lot of teachers, because teachers don't always get it right, do they? And we've had to walk in love towards parents, in baseball seasons, all that kind of stuff. Oh, my gosh, you meet all kinds of people, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And all kinds of kids.
You know, raising them in church, like, look at the pastor's kids out there running around. Yeah, they're running around with your kids. I mean, come on, you know, right? So we've had that. We've had friends that we didn't approve of with the kids, stuff like that. We had them sneaking out of the house, all that kind of stuff you probably had with your kids too. And then family-wise, we've had, major financial challenges. We were living in a little two-bedroom apartment. Michael had just been born. And a sweet lady was the landlord who had rented to us. She actually lived next door. There was a little three-unit little thing we lived in, and we had a two-bedroom one. There was a one-bedroom, and she was a sweet lady. Never had been married, was really involved in her church, and then but she was very elderly, and she finally got old and passed. Well, it turned out that she had no family, so in her will, she left the property to her church, all right? Hey, which is a good idea. Remember family life in your will, okay? And so anyway, or something. And so anyway, so we're there, and so we're really sorry about her passing and all this. And so Shortly afterward, the affairs were settled. Leaders, gosh, this is kind of crazy this even happened. Here we are pastors, all right? And one reason why she rented us is because we were pastors. And so leaders from the church show up and tell us we have to vacate, all right? And or they're going to more than double the rent or something like that. And we didn't like it, beat it. It was almost like that. And these are church people, you know. Yeah, we had 1 month to do this, and we were barely making the rent as it was, and Michael was born. So that was a challenge. I don't think I've forgiven that one yet. I'm kind of feeling mad thinking. I'm getting mad thinking about that one. I forgot about that. Yeah, pray for me. Maybe by next service I'll forgive that. But God provided for us and all that. So anyway, how do we you know, this, anything else you want to? Oh, there's, and you know, on and on. I had a heart attack in 2013. August 17th. It was the day after our anniversary. August 17th, 2013, coming up on 6 years now. That was a Saturday. Remember that Saturday? I remember that Saturday.
And how
all right.
reacted in a positive way.
That was a big deal.
It's huge.
It's terrible.
If he was nonchalant about it, if he wasn't taking care of himself, it would put pressure and stress on me because I'd be feeling like, do I say something to him? Do I not say something to him? Do I, you know, encourage him to eat better? Or, you know, it would put a lot of pressure.
I think calling me fatty gave me a hint, all right?
No, but I think that it's really important, guys, how we deal with our own personal problems, realizing it affects our family around us.
Right.
And so it's not about me. We truly are. To think of our lives as it's just not about me. It is about others. Those that care about
me. There's collateral damage, of course.
Am I doing right. for myself the best so I can be a strong person so that people around me can count on me, so that people around me can feel good about me? All of those kind of things. See, a lot of times we just want to think about ourselves and forget, hey, wait a minute. We're on the earth for others,
right?
Not just me.
Okay, so let me give you, real quick, they'll be on the screen, you can just get a shot of this, five things, here's how to face problems successfully. We're going to all face them. Here's the things that we do to overcome and deal with them in a positive way. Number one, attack the problem, not the person. This is, I cannot overemphasize how important this is. Attack the problem, not the person. Depending on the nature of the situation, the person already feels like they're under attack, especially if they're kind of the ones that maybe cause some issues or challenges in the home. You follow me? So listen, the problem is the problem. Remember I said before, the problem, all right, how we respond to the problem is the real problem, not the problem itself. Attack the problem, not the person. So important. And then just jump in if you want to anywhere on any
so
of these.
So there would be like, you know, not accusing all the time. Like, you always,
right.
You never, you know, really in
perfect
reality,
example.
Nobody always and nobody never. But we're so worked up that
it feels that way.
It feels that way. So it's good to not say you. It's better to say something like we or I felt like this when that was happening, that kind of stuff. So for limited time, you know, just jot down questions if you have a question about anything like
that. Oh,
this.
Yes. Turn
Give
those things in.
Questions and we can come back to those.
We had a thing with one of our kids one time who remained nameless, wrecked one of our cars and didn't even tell us. All right? And so we said, okay, we got to fix the problem. How are we going to get this fixed? Okay, number two, find a promise in the Word. Find a promise and stand on it. Find a promise and stand on it. There's a promise for every conceivable problem. Problems you've never even had yet, God's already given you a promise to overcome it. It may never even come into your life, but you've got it there in your arsenal. All right? So find a promise in the Word and stand on it. With technology now, you can find Bible promises that quick. We used to have these big old thick, you know, strongest concordance that weighed 10 pounds to even have the thing and carry it around. And the print was so small, you had a magnifying glass even to read it. Now you can just click, 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 and that quick you can find promise after promise. So find a promise in the Word and stand on it. Number three, pray. Pray, yeah, pray. Prayer changes things. It doesn't change God, it changes things. Hey, you know what it changes? Changes me. That's who prayer changes.
It does
Yeah. If we're praying in faith.
Yeah, right. Or if we're being honest in our prayer to God. You can tell God how bad you feel and how mad you are, or however you're feeling. Tell God how you're mad at that person for doing whatever they did to you. But at the same time, just really be honest with God to allow Him to heal your heart at the same time.
Right.
And so that you can stay in love with that person or people. I mean, you know, families are so broken up, aren't they? I mean, don't see each other for years. That's just not healthy. That's not the kind of family God wants.
Right.
God wants strong families.
Amen. So you pray in faith. Lord, thank you. You promised to supply all of my needs. Thank you. You said, great is the peace of my children. Thank you. You said, my steps are ordained by you. Thank you. You work all things together for good to those who love you. You pray in faith. You thank him in advance for the answer. Yeah.
How you should react, how you should respond.
And there's a promise for wisdom in the book of James.
Right, exactly. So,
if you lack wisdom, ask of God, he gives it abundantly. So, yeah.
You know, like I said a couple weeks, maybe it was last week, you know, we can't depend on how somebody else is going to react, but we can depend upon how I'm going to react.
Right.
And so God can help us to respond in a positive way. God can help us with our words. You know, there's been times where I'm just like, I have no idea what I could say to soften this or to make this better or whatever. And I'll pray and the Holy Spirit will give me good words to speak.
Amen. And now this next one sounds cliche, but it's so good. I couldn't think of a better way to improve it. So here it is. Fix the problem, not the blame. All right. Fix the problem, not the blame. That's kind of like that first one. Attack the problem, not the person. It's easy to play the blame game. So blaming is a habit you really want to avoid at all costs. Okay. You want to avoid habits like whining, complaining, blaming, worrying. Oh, self-pity is probably the worst of all habits that people have. Self-pity. Those are habits you want to avoid like the plague. At all costs, avoid that. So fix the problem, not the blame. Again, you attack the problem, not the person. You find a promise, you pray in faith, you fix the problem, not the blame. Amen? All right, and then number five, this is really important. Love, forgive, and move forward. Love, forgive, and move forward. That's why she said a little bit ago, we're trying to think, what are some things we can kind of bring up as examples that we've been challenged by? And I go, remember this, remember that? So I forgot all about that because she's done that. She's done number five. Love, forgive, and move forward. To where she's like, I forgot all about that. I don't even remember that habit. That's because she's loving and she's forgiving. Forgiveness is about release. It doesn't say it was okay. Oh, please do it again. It's not saying anything like that. So I let you go. I release that. I let that go. I'm going to move on. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Forgetting what lies behind. Reaching for what lies ahead. All the things the Bible tells us how to live. So love, forgive, and move forward. Amen. And then I'm going to add a sixth one that's not on the screen, but I'm going to give it to you right now. You can write it down. This is really important. Stay united. Yeah. Stay united. The enemy seeks to break things apart. A house divided cannot stand. That's the devil's agenda. He acts on the word too. Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. That means a house divided cannot stand. Yeah. And so if the devil can divide us, we know this is true in sports. We know it's true in a nation. We know it's true in business. Division, strife, and all these things cause things to crumble. A house divided cannot stand. So stay united, all right? Stay united. And if you're going to disagree, we would have sometimes differences of opinion on how we're going to deal with this. We would not in front of the kids have a disagreement. We'd go in the back room, figure this out, and then come back out with a united decision, all right? That really helped us a lot with our family. So those things there will really help you. Amen?
Yeah.
Are we good? Give Esther a great hand clap, all right? We'll pick it up right here. We have four pillars. That's just two right there, all right? Tell each other I love you every day and deal with problems in a positive way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We pray for every home, every family. Lord, we want our families blessed. We want our homes healthy. We want our relationships to be whole and strong. Of course we want this. We were born to belong. And so, Lord, I just pray for every home, every person, every family, every soul this morning in Jesus' name. I just pray a blessing upon every single one. The beginning point of all wisdom, the beginning point of all of this is our relationship with you. If our hearts are not right with you, Lord, we can pray right now and just in a moment receive forgiveness, receive healing, restoration, all that you offer to us right now by the blood of Jesus. So just for a second here with every head bowed and every eye closed, friend, today if you need to get your heart right with God, if you've never called on Jesus to come into your heart, or if you're already a believer, but just things aren't right with him right now, I want to pray for you right now in just a moment. And I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you in just a second here just to lift your hand up high where I can see it. So I know who I'm praying for. Thank you. I see your hand already. And we're going to pray, God hears and God answers. Thank you. All right, so let's go ahead right now. If that's you, thank you. There's already like three hands already raised. 1, 2, 3. Anybody else? If that's you, please pray for me. Could I see your hand now? Thank you very much. Anybody else? We're going to pray right now. This is so important. This is actually the most important part of the entire Sunday morning celebration service, is this right here. So thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, anybody else? We're going to pray right now. Okay, let's all pray like this. Can we just all lift one hand together? I love for us to pray as a family. I love for us all to know how to pray. And you who raise your hands, I encourage you, let your heart agree with these words today. Let's pray like this. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for loving me with all of your heart, with a never-ending love. Today, I make you the Lord of my life. I receive forgiveness. I give you my heart. You are my Lord. I purpose to grow as a believer every single day. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Can we celebrate God's love and goodness right now?
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the Word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 o'clock a.m.